I'm suiting up!
Welcome to Doctor 3, a Hearthstone podcast dedicated to giving you explosive growth in climbing the standard rank ladder. I'm your host, Daring Alkaline, and along with me are my fellow hosts, Nicolias and Major Death. 7 days after the dragons have descended, we have last week's poll question. Mage?
Oh, what a smooth intro that was. Way to go, Daring. I like that. We are, in fact, 1 week into the new expansion, and we asked last week, what style of deck are you most excited to play in Descent of Dragons? We did not get many responses this week. I hope we're going to get more for next week, but 11 total votes. 45% of you said Galakrond decks were what you were most excited for. 36% dragon decks that are not Highlander, so maybe the dragon druid, that sort of thing. 18% said Highlander decks, and we didn't have any write-in options. So if you've been playing the last week, you've probably been playing some Galakrond. We will definitely be talking about that, and we have a poll question at the end of the show, and we hope that you will respond and let us know what you think so we can talk about it next week.
Awesome. So we go into the news. Nerfs incoming. Repeat, nerfs incoming. Note, it was announced 2 days, count them, 2 days after the set came out. Apparently something's busted with Shaman. I don't know. I can't imagine what.
Shaman's busted again? No. But Evolve just got rotated.
Yep. There's no more bunnies.
Did they forget to put Evolve back into Wild?
No. So, according to their Twitter, we are currently working on a balance update that will arrive within the next week, containing adjustments for hashtag Descent of Dragons, including some changes aimed at Shaman.
You don't say.
That's my shock. You know, that's my expression of shock.
That was a great Kevin from Hollow right there. That was fantastic.
For those of you,
you mean a single deck making up about 50% of the meta at rank one is a bad thing?
You know, I thought not, but I'm starting to lean towards yes. It is. It's certainly a thing, and it's going on right now. So.
Well, get your wins while you can. Free wins for anyone who plays Shaman. Free wins.
Hey, number one, it's not free wins because you're going to be playing Shaman. So it's a 50-50. Can you hit that slot machine? We're back in Vegas mode, pulling that lever.
It's just a coin flip this time. do you face Shaman or do you not face Shaman?
I did not finish on the positive end playing Galakrond Shaman, so not entirely free wins, especially when going in the mirror match. So
I've been playing Quest Galakrond Shaman, so it's definitely not free wins, but I'm having fun with it. So
I went 12-2 with Galakrond Shaman to Legend, so there you go.
Well, you said before the show started, he said I was just in the top 200 until today, so there you go.
Quest Hunter is not actually very good. I'm sorry. For people who think that it's good, it's not.
It's not.
I like it against... I actually kind of liked it a little bit. I played a few games with it.
Oh, it's fun.
I got my face kicked in by Phase Hunter, Aggro Shaman, and then Holy Wrath Paladin. So probably not the best matchups.
Those aren't the matchups that deck's going to excel in. But actually, I beat a few Galakrond Shamans with it. So
nice. Yeah,
that felt nice.
Yeah, I could see that.
So and we're going to talk more about Galakrond Shaman during our main topic. So maybe we should finish off the nerf announcements and the rest of the news.
Yes. So patch on Monday, many thought it would be balance change related. Instead, it was performance improvements to Battlegrounds. So those of you listening pro Battlegrounds, awesome. It's working better for you. So and then finally, reminder, Wintervale bundle with Dame Hazelbark, Druid Hero Portrait, available December 19th through January 7th. Six packs from five non-DOD expansions for $25. So It's pretty much as good of a deal as they've given you with a hero portrait. So if you're going to get a hero portrait, you're getting, what, 30 packs?
Sorry. Yeah, 30 packs. So it just feels like they haven't talked much about it, and nobody else seems to be talking about it because of the shaman things going on and stuff. But I had to go back to look to see when that was going to be available, and it is going to be available starting this Thursday. So
good,
through the beginning of the year.
So
don't buy it.
I'm gonna buy.
Portrait is creepy.
I'm gonna buy it and play nothing but Treant Druid. And make
as long as sure I don't face you, I'm fine with it.
Make sure that you challenge Nicolaias as your first game after you buy the portrait.
But Nicolaias, I have an 80 gold quest to challenge a friend. Don't you?
I'm
want
just
that
gonna
gold?
Like put a sheet of paper or something over your over the monitor, and it's like,
oh god. Just real quick to the side. Do you remember in early in Hearthstone the face hunter template?
Yes. Who was that? Who I think it was Life Coach or something.
Coach.
Who like completely like covered his opponent's board with a sheet of paper except for the face, and he just everything just goes face.
That was one of the first really good Hearthstone memes. So, oh god, that one still makes me laugh to this day. Okay, all right, guys, let's move into our main topic. And let's talk about the elephant in the room, the 800-pound gorilla. We're talking about Galakrond Shaman because it's here, it's busted, and it's ready to kick your teeth in. So,
and it'll be gone soon.
Yeah, exactly. There's a good chance by the time you hear this, you're going to know exactly what is going to be happening to Galakrond Shaman. So,
it may not be completely gone, but it's definitely going to be nerfed, and depending how hard they nerf it, it could be.
I feel like they're not going to nerf it enough that it's going to be completely gone for the entire next year. I feel like it could remain at least somewhat viable after this. Now, I could be completely wrong. Maybe they go thermal nuclear on like all the shaman cards, in which case then it won't be. But I feel like
battle cry, your Galakrond have +1 attack.
I feel like they should nuke it for Morbit just to be sure.
that is true. But remember, We had how many nerfs to the quest rogue deck?
Two, but if you're counting Giggling Adventure, 3.
So I'm just saying that they have been able to at some points completely nerf it into oblivion, and then they've had other attempts where, you know, it went away for a little while and then came back. I just hope that it's not completely unplayable at some point again in the future. But for now, it would be nice if it was a little less powerful.
Yeah, there's a lot there that can be dealt with. So let's start out. What is the core to a Galakrond Shaman deck, besides Galakrond, obviously?
Well, I mean, that's most of them. It's like the 5 Galakrond cards. The 4 Galakrond cards. The Dragon's Pact, Galakrond, and Kronks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's like 12 cards, I think. And that's almost half your deck already.
So you're running the Corrupted Elementalist, the 5-mana 3/3 that Battlecry invokes twice.
For some reason, it invokes twice, yes.
It does. Then you have the Crazed Disciple. What is it?
You have Devoted Maniac.
Devoted Maniac, there we go.
You have Shield of Galakrond and Invocation of Frost. Because, again, I don't... like, they gave Priest Assassinate, which has never been played, and then they gave Shaman a better
Glacial
Shard.
Yeah,
so,
I don't...
So those four cards are 8 invokes, right? So it's 2 for each of the
if you're counting the corrupt thing, then it as 2, then it's 10.
Okay, 10.
But yeah, and then you have the The two dragon packs, Galakrond and Kronx, are your main 12 cards. And then you have like your Shudderwark, your Mogu Flesh Shaper with Mutate, your Faceless Corruptor, because that card is just OP busted, and mm-hmm. you should be playing it no matter what deck you're playing, in fact.
Yep.
And then most have like both Sludge Slurper and Evo Totem. And then the rest is kind of up to you if you want to do. Yeah, if you want to go the quest variant, then you do that. If you don't want to go the quest, then you just type in like your collection manager, everything that says draw, and then put as much of that in as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, your Farsight, your Manatite Totem, your Novice Engineer. The most popular lists on HS Replay has Life Drinker and Barista Lynchian, because I guess aggro decks were kind of a problem for it. So they said, let's just not deal with that and have some life gain on top of more life gain in the form of the five armor, on top of more life gain on the form of Kronx. And then you have more life gain even after that with Shudderwark.
Yep.
There were definitely instances when I was playing the deck that if you didn't have the Invocation of Frost early against some of the aggro decks, it could get to be a bit dicey if you didn't have the comeback mechanic of the Devoted Maniac on four, or the Corrupted Elementalist on five, or maybe even the Dragon's Pact if you had managed to get it upgraded.
Because there's a surprising amount of taunts in this deck. Like, mm-hmm, yeah. The lackeys can give you the Titanic lackey. You just have the 1-4 taunt totem. But then even after that, Shield of Galakrond is a taunt. The Dragon's Pact's a 2 taunts.
Mm-hmm.
On top of that, you know, you can always mutate into a taunt.
So
it's a surprising amount.
So why does this deck work? What makes it sting? What is the real problem with this deck?
Problem is, the invoking is supposed to be something that is slow, something that you lose tempo on. Priest get an extra minion to their hand and it does nothing because it's a priest minion. Warlock gets 2/1/1 imps, which is great, but it's not odd paladin, so it's not as consistent. Also, their other invoke cards just suck. They just suck. Rogue adds a lackey to your hand, which is probably the closest that we get. But it's, you know, if you don't have that extra mana, it's just not doing anything for that turn. And then Warrior kind of has something similar, but it's just +3 attack for the turn. And a lot of the time that just goes face. So it's not impacting the board as often. Whereas with the Shaman one, you just get a 2/1 elemental with Rush. And if they don't have a minion, great, you just have a 2/1 on the board for free. And if they do have a minion on the board, then great, you can... A couple of those will take out pretty much anything pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Especially
in the first five turns. I mean,
yeah.
The fact that, like, one of the big swing minions right now is that Faceless Corruptor. It's got 4 health. You can use 2 of the 2/1s and easily clear one of those things.
Also, that Corrupted Elementalist invokes twice, so it's so it's what, 7/5 worth of stats for 5,
and 4 of that attack can rush right away.
And that's a invoke that automatically upgrades Galakrond. So,
yep.
So it's 1 level better with 1 card, where everyone else has to pay 2 cards.
Yeah, that's another thing. It's like they just gave Shaman the invoke that has the most board control, and then they gave them the only card that invokes Galakrond twice. Why?
I assume they thought because it was a 3/3 for 5, it might then fly.
No. No, that doesn't...
I mean, I'm not disagreeing with you, but I'm just trying to potentially get into their head. Maybe they thought, you know, it's a 3-3. How bad could it be? They get to invoke twice. It's a fair trade.
I mean, it's especially disgusting when you're going second and you coin it out on turn two. Oh, sorry, on turn four. Mm-hmm. And then you follow it up with the Dragon's Pact, having played non-evoke cards before that. And then it's like, well, there we go. Game's over, pretty much.
Yep.
Because, you know, the payoff cards of, like, you know, the Dragon's Pact, the 3-6 Dragon and Priest, the Coin card and Rogue. Like, these are big payoff cards, you know? But mm-hmm. it's supposed to take a little bit to, you know, get that payoff. Because it's, you have to invoke twice. This is just... Here's one card that just does that for you, and then you get that payoff, like, immediately.
It's so easy to upgrade Galkron. Like, I've seen a bunch of other Galkron decks, and most times they play Galkron, it's not fully upgraded. It's generally been played, you know, there's been 2 to 3 invokes. And that's if you drop it on curve. I've played against Shaman plenty of times that have had Galakrond fully upgraded, no problem, Kronks, and then Galakrond on 7. Like,
yeah, like, it's so easy to get those 8/8s coming out on turn 7. Like, but it's so easy.
But it's not like they have Rush or anything, right?
Oh, wait a minute. At least they don't have, like, a weapon, especially if it had, like, a lot of attack, like, you know, 5. And it just wasn't one swing, like, right? Like, it had two?
It's almost they had an Arcanite Reaper in there. So, let's think about this for a second. They get a 5-mana weapon and 2 8/8s with Rush. I'm thinking about 9 mana for that. Those are pieces.
I mean, Mulch Muncher costs 9, but yeah. It also costs 1 less. But I mean, nobody plays it at 9, so.
Yeah, exactly. No one plays it at discounted costs either.
Yeah.
The only time you ever saw Mulch Muncher was when you were double evolving Mogu.
Hey, that was a good one.
I kind of feel like there's a Mulch Muncher somewhere with a tear running down its eye. How badly we're talking about it.
Tell him to come buffed. See me in the game.
It was one of the cards that was buffed in Rise of the Machines, and it still saw 0 play. That's how bad it was before and how bad it is now.
I will apologize officially to Mulch Muncher on air when I see someone organically play it from their deck.
Yes, yes. Yes.
When they face me. I'm not going to watch a Trolden video, and I'm not going to have you send me clips of you randomly playing Mulch Muncher. It has to be Ranked Ladder. When I see a random opponent on Ranked Ladder organically play a Mulch Muncher, that's when I will officially come on air and take off my hat and apologize very sincerely to Mulch Muncher. It's garbage. But anyways, that's almost 30 mana worth of abilities, and yeah. You still get the hero power of summoning a 2/1.
Yeah.
And then guess what? Shadowrock does it again.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is a lot. That's like the king of value to have right there.
So it's just a bunch of things, in which case, like, to be bringing it back to reality and, like, not mm-hmm. memeing anymore. Galakrond Shaman is just the best deck right now in terms of controlling the board, because almost every single card that you play has Rush. Like, the amount of Rush in that deck is absolutely ridiculous, so it's hard to lose the board as that. And then they have one of the best Galakrons as is that's very easy to power up, and so you get those 8/8s coming online very early. You have one of the best payoff cards in Dragon's Pack, which is also like doubly amazing when you pair it with Electra. And then you get to do it all over again with Shadowwalk. So it has the early game, the mid game, the late game, and the super late game. Like, there's no point at which this deck is weak. So the only way you can really beat it is by going under it. In the case of, like, a face hunter or, like, an aggro deck.
And that is actually our next question. How do you beat it?
Yeah. So jumping into that. You go under it by playing something like Face Hunter or, I guess, Aggro Shaman. Just something. Pirate Warrior, if it gets a good draw, can do it as well. But it has a lot of taunts, Galakrond Shaman does already. And if they're running the version with Life Drinkers and draw that, like, it's hard to, like, that's a lot of healing. And the other way to beat it more reliably is to combo it out with Holy Wrath Paladin. Because Rush is not charged, so it has a hard time actually dealing significant amounts of face damage, which the Paladin can use to stall out, draw their entire deck, and then 50 you pretty easily.
Yeah. And we thought that Holy Wrath Paladin wouldn't see the light of day after the set came out.
Yeah, I gave Sathrovar like a 1, I think, because I didn't think that Holy Wrath Paladin would be played in, like, because I was expecting more mid-range decks. Like, in an environment where there are dragon, like, in big and druid and, you know, dragon hunter and merino mage and stuff like that, no way in hell Holy Wrath Paladin sees the light of day. And that might be the case. Like, I don't think it's fair to evaluate the cards in their current state.
Yeah.
Like, look, we can't look back and say, well, I gave this a 1, so I must be stupid, you know?
Oh, yeah, of course.
I still might be stupid, but...
No.
Let's wait until after the nerfs. But if
you said Sathravar was going to still be good after the expansion, you're a genius. Oh, wait. Maybe.
So, let's.
I may have said that, and so I'm completely self-serving. It is. It's only a weekend, so there's balance changes coming. So
yeah. So yeah. We can evaluate, like, go over our predictions or something, like, not like after the nerfs take place, and we can actually evaluate the set in which it's meant to be. Although I say that in quotation marks, after the balance changes, and we'll see if, like, actual mid-range decks are a thing anymore, because those decks just don't exist when Galakrond Shaman makes sure you can never win the board, you know?
Yeah, and I will say, I think you're right with Sathravar as a 1, but when Holy Wrath Paladin is playable, that card is stupid in Holy Wrath Paladin. I was playing Holy Wrath Paladin before... in Doom in the Tomb, just because I wanted to play something that wasn't Shaman, and the times that card pulled me out of, like, being at, like, 2 life, and then actually being able to drop Shavala, 3 Shavalas in a turn, and still have 1 in your deck. Well, it turns out getting the heal back to full is really solid. So,
oh yeah, the card is absolutely disgusting in Holy Wrath Shaman. It's how good it is completely dependent on how much that deck sees play. And right now it's seeing a lot of play because it's, like, the best counter to Galakrond Shaman, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Which is, like I mentioned earlier, it's like 50% of the metagame or something at rank 1. Like, it's absolutely disgusting.
So, okay, now I'm going to go, after this episode, I'm going to go start playing Holy Wrath Paladin again.
It is fun.
Yeah, it is.
That's how I got into the top 200. And then I tanked back out playing Quest Hunter.
So I was just gonna say
that any deck that you don't really need to have much, like, you can just kind of ignore the board. And so Face Hunter doesn't care if you kill their minions, because, like, most of the damage occurs, like, they're playing Toxic Reinforcement.
Mm-hmm.
Just to 2 get copies. The Leprenones.
Two
just,
copies of it.
You know, just to give more value to their hero power. And then when you kill the 1-1, or they kill off the 1-1, it does 2 more damage to the opponent's face. So, you know, they're When you have the deck like Shaman that is predicated on board control, you just have to play something that doesn't care about the board, which is Holy Wrath Pounded doesn't really care about the board. Face Hunter doesn't really care about the board. Aggro Pirate Warrior cares about the board, and so it's a little bit more difficult for them. But as you said, it can, if it gets the right combination of cards early, and the Shaman doesn't, you can get there
for sure. So next question: quest, yes or no?
No. Next question. Next.
But
like, it's not even a dislike. If you want to have fun,
yeah.
If you want to have fun, or if you want to do like mess around, if you really, really want to play the quest, like this question, you know, like, ignore it, right? Mm-hmm. But the reality is, you're tanking your win rate if you put the quest in.
Yeah, exactly. 100%. There's, I'll be frank for a second. I've been having fun playing with the quest. I know it's not as good as just non-quest Galakrond Shaman. Like, I know that, but I enjoy it, so I do it. So, like, I'm not climbing nearly as fast as I probably could have been, but, you know.
I will say the most infuriating thing in the world is coming up on turn 9. They've completed their quest, and you know they have Galakrond, and you see that hero power go, and then the Galakrond elevation, and you see 4 8-8s come down. It's just, oh no, you have got to be kidding me with this.
I think you mean the most emotionally satisfying play in all of Hearthstone history.
There is not a bigger F you to your opponent than that sequence of play right there.
Yeah, so it definitely is. That's what that deck's win condition is. Being able to hero power double Galakrond. So
it also is kind of nice that not that you need it, because we've talked about how efficient the invoke cards already are for Shaman, but the fact that you can basically use one Corrupted Elementalist with the hero power and fully upgrade your Galakrond.
Yep.
One card and the hero power does that. That is absolutely the most ridiculous thing ever.
And yeah. You still get six, or you still get what, 8/4 of Rosh minions.
Yeah. Yeah, but the problem is that the best cards in the deck are the Galakrond cards, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's more efficient. The reason why it's better than not to play the quest is you want to play cards that just say draw, essentially. So you get to play those Galakrond cards more frequently rather than like an Evil Cable Rat or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And basically having one less card to mulligan because you have to keep the quest is also pretty detrimental. But yeah, it's still Galakrond Shaman, so you're still doing fine with it. But the reality is that you shouldn't be playing it if your sole aim is to climb the ladder.
Mm-hmm. So final question we had, and I don't think we will have any disagreement here. Does this card need to be nerfed? Yes. Or does this need to be nerfed? Yes. Let's move on. I mean,
so
to be fair, there are people out there, pro Hearthstone players, saying this deck isn't that powerful. That there are more powerful things at Legends, say, or whatever, and so this isn't that bad. So that's why this question, that's why we're asking this question.
Okay.
The people, you can't really balance it around the pros, though. You have to generally balance it around like the middle. Like, I wish you could just balance it around the pros, right? Because like, there's a bunch of stuff that wouldn't be nerfed and I'd still be having fun with. But you have to kind of look at the casual, not, I don't want to say you have to look, you have to balance with the casual player, but you have to, you can't balance with the pro. You have to be where the most people are playing. And kind of balance, not only for them, but also just how it feels. Like, it really feels, especially after Shaman, Evolve Shaman, like, it really feels bad to have another broken shaman deck. That being said, I don't think the deck is too far off of being fine, to be honest. I think the expected nerf to Mogu, like, I don't know where I heard this, but like Mogu was going to get nerfed this expansion regardless. But like, so if you touch him, if you do the expected, unexpected nerf, you know, to Baseless Corruptor, just because that card is like in literally every single deck, but one of the biggest abuses of it is Shaman, so you hit that as well. And then if you just touch like Corrupt Elementalist, I think that's fine. I think the deck is fine if you just nerf those three cards.
Now here's the question. What do you do to Corrupted Elementalist? Do you make it cost 7 or do you make it cost 6?
If you make it cost 6, I think it would be fine. The other option is to like make it like, I don't know, give it like +1/+1, but only make it invoke once. But that's probably too complex of a change because they don't like changing more than one thing on a card. Mm-hmm. It's kind of weird, and they like changing the mana, and I think that's also kind of weird. So like, if they do nerf it, it would probably just be a mana nerf of to like 6, maybe 7, but I think 6 is fine. Because like I said, the killer is like, especially when you're going 7 and you coin it out on turn 4, and then you just go straight into the Dragon's Pact without having to play any other invoke cards.
I feel like you have to remove the double invoke. I feel like you have to, because there is no other invoke card that invokes twice, whether it be class or neutral, and so I feel like it has to. I think the mana cost stays the same. I think the card stays the same, except the invoke. The second it just says invoke Galakrond instead of
Galakrond twice. I do want the double invoke to be removed. I'm just like, when you compare it to some of the other cards, some of the other invoke cards, its power level gets so low compared, like, like a 3/3 with a 2/1 rush at 5 is just. That's bad.
What is, but isn't Shield of Galakrond 5?
Yeah, it's a 4/5 with taunt.
Taunt, exactly.
So no, like,
But what I'm saying is like if you look at like some of the warrior ones, it basically ends up the 3-mana card ends up basically being a 1-damage AoE to everything, and then you have 3 damage with your face, so it ends up being basically a 3-mana swipe. So I feel like, I mean, if it's going to be understated, it's going to be understated, and so I guess to me, I think that's the unfair part, is that it invokes twice, and if that completely removes the card, it completely removes the card. But I think you just remove the double invoke.
My only problem with that is that you're making a class card worse than a neutral card in the same expansion. Like, I don't think you can ever do that.
Yeah.
I don't think you can say, here's this card that everyone can use, and by the way, you get a card worse than this, specifically. Like, because that's essentially what it is when you compare it to Shield of Galakrond. It's -1/-2 without taunt for the same mana cost. So if you want to, like, say, hey, let's make it, like, let's keep it at 5 but remove the invoke twice and have it just invoke once, I don't see how you can't make it, like, at least a 5/5.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well,
without taunt, but like, I don't know. Like I said, they don't tend to like doing 2 changes. Mm-hmm. So I think that's unlikely.
Yeah, I agree. But let's talk about something we could all agree on. Let's nerf Mind Control Tech, guys. Mind Control Tech. Let's just send it to the Hall of Fame. Let's just get rid of it. Like, right now, it sucks and I hate it. And I hope the mental dislocator blows up and I never see that pink-haired gnome ever again.
It has got to be one of the least favorite cards in the entire game, like, ever. Like, yeah. That card is so infuriating to play against, and it's just one of those cards that when it's played, somebody's gonna feel bad.
Yeah. For doing something you say your game is about.
I mean, like, if somebody plays, like, Galakrond, I'm sure that feels bad, but, like, this is a random, you know, potentially a 1-4, you know, just to completely take an unlosable game. And it's like, well, you played a minion this turn, so you lose the game, you know, like, yeah, I think that card needs to be deleted.
I've seen some people talking about it on Twitter, and I'm still on board to get rid of it. I'd like to see it in the Hall of Fame. It's you're right. It's the ultimate feel bad card. I don't know if it is Galakrond Shaman's not running that card though at all, is it?
In the quest variant, it is, but yeah. Not the normal one.
Some of them are, and the reason for that actually is the mirror match, because some of the, you know, some of the way that you kind of deal with the 5/6s. And some of the all the big rush minions, especially if they get, you know, multiple 8/8s, would be to potentially take one and try to do that. So Mind Control Tech's been attack, Earth Shock's been attack,
Lightning Storm.
Lightning Storm's been attack. Some of those sorts of cards have seen play because of the number of mirror matches.
Okay, guys. Do we have any closing thoughts on Galakrond Shaman before we?
I think the popularity of the deck, in addition to its win rate, is why it needs to be nerfed. I think there's just too much of it out there, and because it just sort of kind of feels bad to keep losing to the same deck, same class all the time, it does feel like it does need to happen. And this isn't a case where it's like Quest Rogue or something where, yeah, maybe the win rate isn't there, but it feels bad to lose to. This feels bad to lose to, and the first whole page 2 days after the expansion, top win rate decks, 5 to legend, was all different variations of Galakrond Shaman.
And didn't you say, Nikolai, I said before the show started, like, what is it at rank 1? It's like 50%. Yeah,
It was either 50 or 60% when you combined the Galakrond and the Quest Galakrond. Like, when you take those two decks and together, it's either like 50 or 60% of the metagame at rank 1.
So that would be my argument against any pro player, that the data aggregation right now shows that.
I mean, the deck is, you were given the free card, essentially, in Galakrond.
Mm-hmm.
It is what the expansion is essentially based around, so I think the play rate is like overinflated compared to if it was something that you just had to, if it was just another card. But that being said, my closing thought on this is, I'm not sure how this iteration of Galakrond Shaman made it to live. I don't know if it was a problem with their QA testing, or like they didn't get it, or they knew that it was going to be busted and then they said, well, we'll fix it in a week anyway, who cares? Mm-hmm. You know, paraphrasing. I don't know. I would love to know. I'd love to talk to somebody to actually get a more in-depth, you know, conversation about like how something like this came out.
Because
it seems odd that essentially the best deck is, you know, the Galakrond cards plus Mogu, Mutate, and then like everything else that just says draw. Like, it seems odd that that wasn't tested, but maybe was like other decks seem to be around the same power level and we just haven't seen them. Were the counters like super effective and nobody's playing it because everyone's just on the hype train? Like, these are good questions that I really want to know. I don't think we'll ever get the answer to these, but I am curious how this iteration of the cards made it to live if they knew it was going to be this strong.
Yeah. And this is the fastest they've ever issued a nerf.
The second fastest was Rastcon's Rumble. They did a nerf like a week right after. But all of those were existing cards. None of them were from Rastcon's Rumble. It was the Wild Growth, the Nourish, the Serenite Chain Gang.
Yes, I remember that one. Yeah.
Yeah, so no, there wasn't any cards from Rastcon's Rumble that was nerfed in that.
That was just these nerfs are coming anyways. Like those were like felt like planned out nerfs.
Yeah, they said that they were planned out and they just had to either they accelerated the timeline or something else happened where it's like everything was finally ready and it just so happened that it was ready like a week after the expansion.
Yeah. So this is the
this would be the fastest that we've seen a card nerfed from its release to nerf. This would be the fastest.
If they nerf anything,
they've specifically said adjustments to
Shaman,
Descent of Dragons.
Yeah, that's true. Including
changes aimed at Shaman. So we are going to see a first that's fair. Here. There yeah. is going to be Descent of Dragon cards that are going to get changed as a result of this. And it seems crazy to me that there is that this is happening literally, presumably within 9 days of launch.
Yeah, that seems that seems like there was a mess up somewhere. So yeah, I just like to know. Like, this isn't me being salty or anything like that. This is just a genuine question. Like, I'd like to know what the heck happened.
Obviously, because I feel like it's very much not being salty because it's just like, look, we've never had you guys respond this quickly after something comes out. Like, what happened? What didn't go the way you thought it was going to go? Or was it just not on your radar? Like, what I'm genuinely curious as well, because it's just something. There's some sort of disconnect between the launch of Descent of Dragons and the nerfs are coming.
Just to add on really quick, we know that they can change cards very quickly before it gets launched. I remember when Warmaster Voon was announced, the person who did it used the wrong version of that card. So they were sent a version of the card to release, and between the time that they were sent that version and when they were supposed to release it, they got another copy of it. Because it had been nerfed. It was initially, I think it was a 3-mana 3/4 or something, and it was changed to a 4-mana 4/3. So, like, we know that they can do it, like, very quickly, and this Shaman Galakrond was the last, was revealed on the last day. Mm-hmm. So, if they were thinking about changing it, they had the most time to do that change before releasing it as well. So there's just a lot of questions that I don't know the answer to, and I would like to because I think it's interesting.
And Mage, why don't you get the last word here, and then
I was just gonna say that if there is ever a time where they could do a really good job with the patch notes and explain some rationale on along with the change and maybe even some of those expectations, this would be a great time to do it. We've seen the patch notes go from very informative and interesting and helpful to know why they did the things they did to decidedly less so. And I would really like to see it on that first end so that we could get some of those answers, because I think those are really important, not just for this situation, but going forward.
Exactly. All right, guys, let's move on to this week's poll question. Mage?
All right. So the poll question for this week is going to be, what class do you think will emerge as the strongest after the balance changes are in place? So we've got three classes for you: Mage, Rogue, and Hunter. These have all been bandied about as potentially being the big winner of the balance changes, but we do have an other, so if you think one of the other classes is going to be the emerge the strongest after the balance changes. Let us know, reply, tell us who you think it is, and we will discuss the answers on next week's show.
Awesome. So let's go ahead and wind on down this week. You find the show on iTunes, Podbean, and Spotify, Google Play Store, all that stuff. Feel free to leave us a 5-star review or whatever kind of review you think we need. We'd love the feedback, and we'd love to hear what we can do to make a better show for you. You can find the show on Twitter at Dr3HS, and you can email the show at Dr3HS@gmail.com. You can also join our Dr3 Discord, which is the top pinned tweet on Dr3HS on Twitter. And you can find myself at Daring Alkaline on Twitter. Mage?
You can find me on Twitter at MageOfDeath. And then Monday, Wednesday, Friday, you can find me on Twitch at twitch.tv/MageOfDeath.
And Nikolaius, take us home.
You can find me on Twitter at Nikolaius123. Also, come hang out in our Discord. Say hi.
Yes. Yay! Come say hi, chat with the hosts, whatnot. Okay, guys, and that's going to do it this week. And as always, you've been listening to Dr. 3.